Well, good morning, church. It's good to have you with us today, and it's an honor to be able to speak to you on Easter Sunday. I want to say a special thanks to all those sitting in overflow. We ran out of room in overflow, so I want to say a word to those who may be driving back home, listening online. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all of you who are part of this Easter celebration, not just here in Lexington, but all over the world. We join more than 2 billion Christians around the world celebrating the historical and divine miracle of Easter. It is my prayer that you receive new life, a renewed hope, a stronger faith, a deeper love, and the real joy that the risen Lord Jesus wants to give you. In preparation for today, we prayer walked our campus. On Friday morning, our men gathered at 6:45 a.m. and spread out and walked the campus praying for what God would do here today. On Wednesday, our staff prayer walked the campus as well. As I was walking and praying for this message, I found myself at the cross in the sanctuary. I knelt there and prayed for Trevor. I prayed for Michael, who were both speaking this morning, and also for my message. When I prayer walked into this room, I stopped at that cross right over there on my right and your left, and I prayed. And then I walked on this stage that was completely dark, praying for all of you that were going to be listening this morning. And then I looked behind me and I saw this cross. It was dark, but I could see the outline of the cross. And the Lord whispered in my spirit these words: "There is no resurrection without crucifixion. There is no resurrection without crucifixion. There is no Savior without suffering." The Apostle Peter, who followed Jesus as his disciple, who denied him at his arrest, who saw him from a distance being crucified, who ran to the tomb on Easter morning and saw him resurrected, he wrote these words in 1 Peter: "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed." Christmas is about coming, Easter is about coming together and celebrating that our wounds have been healed. I saw this yesterday, I wrote it into my notes. His death certificate became my birth certificate, that Jesus Christ came back to life so I could have life. During Holy Week, we remember the passion of our Lord. Passion refers to his sufferings, and there are many sufferings. Jesus' suffering on the cross reveals how serious our sins are to God. I want you to hear that. That if our sins were no big deal, then Jesus would not have suffered and died on a cross. Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty that you and I cannot pay. His sufferings reveal how much God loves you. On Friday, he was scourged. He was beaten with the whip almost to death. He was mocked. He was crucified. And at 3 p.m., he died for the sins of the world. We see his passion. We see his suffering. We see his pain. But also, we know that his followers were suffering. His followers were grieving. His followers were in pain. Some attended his crucifixion. They watched him die. They watched his body being taken down from that cruel cross, and they watched it be carried off to be placed in a tomb. Their dreams, their hopes, their futures were shattered. But at the crack of dawn, 3 days after Jesus had been dead in the tomb, they came, the women did, early that morning, as Michael read for you the scripture, carrying burial spices. But they couldn't find the body of Jesus. They were puzzled and wondered what to make of this. And maybe you came here today or you're listening online and you're puzzled about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ could be dead on a cross, be taken down, put in a tomb, and 3 days later come back to life. Where is his body? You know, mystery in the English means a puzzle that is difficult to solve. But in the Greek, mystery means a secret that is impossible to penetrate. Their pain moves to puzzlement. You know, they're puzzled. You know, and I love what the scripture says. Then out of nowhere, it seemed, God sent some revelation. God sent some revelation for the resurrection. The women needed some help. They were puzzled. Two men, light cascading over them, angels, stood there. They said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were with him in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up." And then it says, they remembered his words. Jesus had told his followers 3 different times that he would be handed over to the Romans, he would be killed on a cross, but on the 3rd day he would rise from the dead. But after some revelation from God's messengers, after some recollection, they remembered his words. I don't want you to miss that. I don't know where you're at today. If you're in the midst of grief, you're in the midst of having a broken heart, a crisis in your family, I want to encourage you to remember the words of Jesus. He will bring them to mind. We just finished a great sermon series on the 7 I Am statements of Jesus, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the source of your life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I will guide you. I am the light of the world that will come into your darkness and show you the way out." And he said, "I am the resurrection. I am life." The women, in their puzzlement, received some revelation, some recollection, and they left the tomb and broke the news to the 11 that Jesus was risen. But it says the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. Maybe you're here today, you're listening, and you're thinking, "Man, they're making all this up." But Peter jumped to his feet, ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave cloths. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. A year earlier, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. And up on this mountain, there was something called the Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah appeared, and Jesus was transfigured. His face and clothes became dazzling bright. It was kind of a foreshadowing of the resurrection and what would happen on that first Easter. And I love what the text says in Mark 9. Coming down the mountain from the Transfiguration, Jesus swore them to secrecy. "Don't tell a soul what you saw. After the Son of Man rises from the dead, you're free to talk." They puzzled over that, wondering what on earth rising from the dead meant. They wondered. What on earth rising from the dead meant? And the Bible tells us that following Jesus' resurrection, follow his appearing to the disciples, he spent 40 days teaching them about all that had happened. And then he calls them to a mountain and where he gives them the final great commission. In Matthew 28, we read the words here in verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted." Even then, some of them doubted. And the Greek word for doubted there is hesitated. There was a hesitation to believe. Now you say, why would they hesitate? Why were they so puzzled? Because they believe, like you and I believe, that if someone dies and they're buried, and they're put in the grave for 3 days, we don't expect them to come back to life. None of us go to the funeral home for a visitation thinking, "I wonder if that person's going to get up out of the casket," you know? Or we go to a gravesite and go, "Well, I wonder if something's going to happen here," you know? We would have been puzzled, would have been confused, would have been uncertain, hesitant, just like they were. Puzzlement. You know, today, again, you may be puzzled, you may be perplexed, you may be hesitating, and I will tell you that belief requires faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can see your mountains move, mountains of doubt, mountains of hesitation, mountains of puzzlement. Do you remember the story of the Apostle Thomas, doubting Thomas? He doubted that Jesus had resurrected. And he says, unless I see the scars on his hands, I'm not going to believe. And so Jesus comes and appears to Thomas and the others, and Thomas declares, I believe. And Jesus said these words. He says, Thomas, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who are going to believe who never see. We step out in faith in the midst of our puzzlement, in the midst of our confusion, and say, I'm going to step out in faith and believe that what Jesus Christ said is real. Now, if you have some puzzlement and some doubts, we got a book we ordered. I'd love to give it to you, and you can pick it up on the way out. It's a book by Lee Strobel called Is God Real? He wrote some great books, The Case for Christ, and this is a book that's got a lot of good answers to maybe some of your questions. So if you got some questions, stop by one of those welcome areas on your way out. There's a quote from this book that really jumped out at me by N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is a brilliant professor from Oxford and Cambridge University. He wrote a book called The Resurrection of the Son of God. And he said this, it is no good falling back on science as having disproved the possibility of resurrection. Any real scientist will tell you that science observes what normally happens. In the case of the resurrection, and what happened to Jesus is not what normally happens. It doesn't normally happen. In fact, it's the only time it's ever happened in the course of human history that someone was dead for 3 days and they came back to life. There's something that is called first century snobbery, that we in the age we live in, with all of our science and all of our knowledge, we look down on the people of Jesus' time because they didn't have all the smarts that we have. They must not have known what they were talking about. But again, they didn't expect someone who was dead to come back to life any more than you would expect that. And I think one of the great evidences of the resurrection was the incredible transformation of these disciples, that they were willing to stake their life on the belief that they saw and believed that Jesus Christ was risen. In fact, all the disciples died a martyr's death because they believed in the resurrection, except for John the Revelator. And John the Revelator, bless his heart, he got put in a vat of boiling water and somehow survived. Someone texted me Friday, it was the first hot tub, right? But he survived and he got exiled to the Isle of Patmos where he spent the rest of his life. Transformation. So what we see here is puzzlement to proclamation. The women were the first followers of Jesus to move from puzzlement to proclamation. I read a story this past week, maybe you saw it, about a young woman whose dad was a pastor. And this young woman got caught up in the dark world of online pornography. She was throwing her life away chasing fame and fortune, wealth on online pornography. And the article said that she said, I had a come to Jesus moment. She remembered and reconnected to her forgotten faith. She remembered the words of Jesus. And she said, I knew this wasn't what God wanted me to be doing with my life. She is now warning other young women of the dangers of online pornography. She got baptized and she posted it online, and over 4 million people have watched her baptism. 17,000 people have commented on it. She went from puzzlement to understanding, to proclamation. The women that came to the tomb, their puzzlement turned to proclamation. And then Peter, shortly after that, preached the very first sermon on the resurrection of Jesus. We read these words in Acts 2. So Jesus, says Peter, is the one God raised from death. We are all witnesses of this. We saw him. Jesus was lifted up to heaven, and now he is with God at God's right side. The Father has given the Holy Spirit to him as he promised. So Jesus has now poured out that Spirit. This is what you see and hear. The disciples saw him alive. The disciples remembered his words where he said three different times that he would rise again. But also, I believe it's important to note that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And today, in the midst of your puzzlement and your hesitation, when you invite God into your life, invite Jesus Christ into your life, also comes with that the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Jesus said in John 16, just prior to his arrest, prior to his crucifixion. He says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He'll make sense out of what is about to happen and of all that I've done and said. Supernatural revelation from God's Holy Spirit inside of us. One of the earliest recorded creedal statements of the resurrection was from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, and he wrote, "I passed on to you what I received, of which this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say, and that he was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, Jesus was seen by more than 500 of the believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died." I believe that Paul was laying down a challenge. He was saying, if you don't believe me, then go to Jerusalem and ask one of those 500 witnesses, because they saw Jesus resurrected and most of them are still alive today. Well, let's fast forward 2024 years to today. Who are going to be the witnesses today that Jesus Christ is alive? If I ask many of you would stand right now and give a testimony that you know that Jesus Christ is resurrected because he changed your life. But I ask a few friends to share with us this morning why they believe that Jesus resurrected. Watch this.
I believe Jesus is resurrected from the dead.
Because he gives me my purpose and shows me my worth.
Because his Holy Spirit has guided me through the most difficult and confusing parts of my life.
Because he had a plan for us and he wasn't done with it.
Because he has done miracles for my family and I know he will continue to do miracles for me.
Because 49 years ago in March, I asked him into my life and everything changed.
Because I feel him in my everyday life.
Because when I pray to him, he answers my prayers.
Because he rescued me from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light.
Because of his amazing love and his grace that I've been able to experience, not only in my personal life, but in my professional life.
Because when I asked him to come into my life and be Lord of all of it, he did.
I believe Jesus rose from the dead because he said he would.
He changed me inwardly, he changed me completely, and he changed me for eternity.
Because he said he would.
I believe Jesus is resurrected from dead because his resurrection power, even today, the transforming the lives of people and breaking the bondages of sin around the globe.
Because I see every day the frailty of the human spirit. And there's a difference in those who've accepted Christ in their life. The Holy Spirit rushes in and strengthens them, not just spiritually, but also physically.
I know he's with me and he walks with me every day because he gives me strength to endure adversity.
I can see the pure love for Jesus that my kids have every single day.
Well, here we are in 2024, and the spreading of the truth about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus shows no sign of failing.
I know my Redeemer lives. His words are more relevant today than at any time in history.
He is alive, and I will live with him forever, resurrected.
It has given me hope for a better tomorrow. He's the best friend I have ever had.
I've seen the evidence of his goodness.
He's alive.
He wasn't done with us, and he wasn't done with me.
Don't you feel his presence? He lives.
And God's people said, he wasn't done with us and he wasn't done with me. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he changed my life. I believe because in over 40 years of ministry, I've witnessed the salvation of thousands of people who were once dead in their sins and yet were made alive in Christ. People without hope, people without peace, people without purpose found hope, found peace, and found purpose. And many of them are still alive today. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because I've personally witnessed that failure doesn't have to be final. Being victimized doesn't have to make you a victim. The worst thing does not have to be the last thing. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because setbacks can set you up for your greatest comeback, that you can move past your past, that defeat does not have to define us. I believe in the resurrection because disease and death will not have the final word. Goodbye is not the end. And to quote young Eli in the video, I believe Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead because he said he would. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. So pain to puzzlement, puzzlement to proclamation, and proclamation to possession. The most important part of this day is for you to receive Jesus Christ into your life and to possess the life he wants to give you. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever. I have the power over death and hell. The Bible says that Jesus is alive and has power over hell and death. Other translations says that Jesus has the keys. Keys that will unlock and determine your eternal destiny. Friends, one day we will all resurrect and we will all stand before Almighty God and we will either possess eternal life or we will experience eternal death. I want to read these words to you from John 5 from the Amplified Bible. The Father loves the Son and has given and entrusted all things into his hand. He who believes and trusts in the Son and accepts him as Savior has eternal life. That is, already possessing it. But he who does not believe the Son and chooses to reject him, disobeying him and denying him as Savior, will not see eternal life. But instead, the wrath of God hangs over him or her continually for eternity. It is my prayer that you will receive and believe and trust Jesus Christ so you can possess new life today and the promise of eternal life tomorrow. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to demonstrate how much you love us, that Jesus Christ suffered on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins so we can be forgiven. I thank you that today when we invite you into our hearts, confess our sins, ask you to forgive us, that you will come into our hearts and give us new life and give us the gift of eternal life, possessing it right now. I pray for everyone to receive that gift today. In Jesus' name I pray.